The following program may contain material that is unsuitable for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Aftermath Radio should not be considered a substitute for services provided by a licensed mental health professional. Good afternoon and welcome to Aftermath Radio, brought to you live from the K-Beach radio station at Cal State Long Beach.
Here we are. Good afternoon. Welcome to Aftermath Radio. This is Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State, where we talk about all things psychopathic. If you'd like to speak with us, the phone number is area code 562-912-3541. Phone lines wide open at 562-912-3541. You can Skype us. And by the way, Gigi, by us, I mean me, because yes. I'm manning the Skype today. At aftermath.radio. Email us, meaning me, aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, we would like to steer you, nudge you sort of towards the website at aftermathradio.org. Click on the radio link in the lower left-hand corner and you'll find all of our podcasts. And that is actually true this week. All of the podcasts are now up for your listening entertainment. And you can listen to those anytime, day or night. Gigi Barr.
That's good to know. Is my mic on?
Yeah. It sounds a little quiet, though.
Yeah, for some reason I can't. Maybe.
Is it your monitor? Do you want me to turn you up? Is that you?
No, I think that's good. Yeah, there you go. Okay. That's better.
Good. All right. As usual, figuring it out as we go. Producer Gigi Barr and me in the house, and that's it.
Yep.
Because where is Chantal this week?
She is could not make it.
Do we want to say where she's at?
That's up to you.
She's at a large-ish music festival here in Southern California. She's probably on her way home right now. I was actually toying with the idea of calling her.
Oh, I don't think that's a good idea.
But we shan't do that. Let's not do it. Oh, I mean, sort of a play on words there. Did you get that?
Yeah, I did. I got it.
All right. Anyway, I'm very excited to be here today and with you today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we have a woman who contacted me and claims to be a psychopath. And so we're going to talk to her about that. Should be really interesting. Just looking ahead at the schedule, really a lot going on. And we're actually starting to wind down because being on the semester system here, we're going to go up until May 14. And then that'll be it for the summer. And just a few highlights coming up. Definitely in the last show of the semester, May 14th, we're going to have Dr. Dave Cossin, Dr. Leanne Leadham, and Dr. Paul Babak on for the Wheel of Controversy, which is sort of the tradition here on the show. Having all three of those on at once is always a good time. Dr. Tracy Tolbert from our department is going to come on and talk about juvenile psychopathy, and that looks like that'll be on the 7th. Guess who I ran into in the mailroom today?
Give me a hint. Oh,
Professor Damon Tucker. Yeah, who works for the Orange County DA as an investigator. And I tried to drag him over here today, but he's actually teaching a class. But he said he would come on and talk about fraud and sort of what he sees on a daily basis on his job. So that's cool. I contacted Dr. Mary Ellen O'Toole. And she agreed to come back on, but we're still sort of finalizing the details there. So we're like jam-packed for the rest of the semester.
Awesome. So we have Dr. Tolbert coming on 7th?
May 7th.
Perfect.
Right.
Okay.
So that's a few weeks away. Lots of good stuff. And as always, if you have any suggestions, we will entertain those. We'll take anybody and everybody on this show, won't we?
Sure. I still think over the summer that we should get some Aftermath merchandise. Get that
I
going.
Approached the executive committee with that, and they are on board. But with anything that involves spending money, you know, it takes a little bit of time. So
I agree.
I'll stay on them about that. But I think we could make a ton of money. No, I'm kidding. No, I think we could make a lot of money for the organization, right?
Yep.
Which is really what we're here for anyway, spreading the word and helping folks out in need. So in the 10 minutes before the show, I'm doing my prep for the show, right? As I always do.
I love how you always say that over the air.
I'm just trying to be honest. No, actually, it was a little bit before that. So I don't know why this idea came to me. Sometimes I get good ideas or I think they're good ideas and they just come to me. But the idea of these internet psychopathy tests, which seem to be proliferating day by day. And so I just did a little online search. That's all I did. I just basically Googled psychopathy tests. And holy cow, you wouldn't believe the what actually comes up. Are you going to do it right now?
I'm going to do it right now.
You don't take my word for it, right?
No, I believe you. I just want to see it for myself. Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it's endless. And there's a lot of, there's probably some good stuff on there too. But it does seem to be that the assessment of psychopathy seems to be kind of bleeding into the public domain now, in terms mm-hmm. of folks. Now, whether it's for kind of entertainment purposes or for sort of pseudoscientific purposes, I think it's just something to be aware of. And, this is one of those things where you really have to be careful of the internet, mm-hmm. Because while there may be, good stuff on there, there's just, overwhelming numbers of things that could be potentially harmful. But I thought I would just kind of talk about that today. I thought I would take a psychopathy test myself.
Interesting.
Yes, I know you want the results to that.
I definitely do.
And then there is the John Ronson video.
Yes.
Now, he, I think he came up before. I don't remember who brought him up, but he is we'll talk about him in a second. Did you have something?
No, I think it was Brian Lott, and he was talking about
him. Oh, right. So this guy writes the book Men Who Stare at Goats that becomes a movie, and then he writes this next book called The Psychopathy Test. And we got a little promotional video off of YouTube, mm-hmm. so it's in the public domain. I wanted to kind of play through that and kind of comment on that. And I think that again, the idea that a lay person's version of a psychopathy test is something to be very cautious about, and even sort of skeptical and kind of like almost run away screaming like a little girl from it, right? Because there's just so many issues involved with that. Now, we know on this show, when we talk about, as a researcher, one of the tools we use is the psychopathy checklist, invented by Dr. Robert Hare. And so it's a validated instrument. It's to be administered by trained professionals with lots of experience. And there's a whole training process behind it. So, that's sort of the gold standard. And, anything that below that, we sort of have to qualify and quantify in terms of the limitations. And so when I see these sort of things coming up, and I've never really taken much notice of them before, I did this for today, I think we really need to look at them very critically. And so that's what we're going to do. And just in terms of before the break, I thought I'd get a couple of these out of the way. So one thing that came up right off the bat is this thing on I don't know if I should give the name of the website or not. I mean, if you Google psychopathy test, you can follow along with me at home if you like. Mm-hmm. A little bit of audience interaction there, right? But there was one by a website that starts with – I'll just say it starts with an A – and it has this test for psychopathy. And so I clicked on that. And basically all it is, it's sort of like the 20 items of the psychopathy checklist that have been sort of rewritten. So probably to avoid any sort of copyright lawsuit, that sort of thing. And all it basically says is, I think score zero. For each of the 20 characteristics, give a score of zero if it does not apply, one if it applies partially, and two if it is a perfect match. And oddly enough, that's what you do in essence with the true version of the psychopathy checklist, the PCLR. However, so much more work goes into a real assessment of psychopathy than does this. This makes it sound like, and I have to be honest, I often joke with my students about this. I say, yeah, the name for this PCLR, it's the psychopathy checklist. But it's not like a checklist you just hand to someone and they fill it out and you're done in 45 seconds, So the name is sort of a misnomer. But that's according to this website, that's exactly what this is. Like, you just sort of look at this and give yourself a 0, 1, or 2, or whoever it is you're assessing. And there you go. So I have mixed feelings about this. I mean, I think if this – on a number of different levels, this person – are they taking credit for work that they didn't do? And there's really no qualifiers in terms of the limitations of this. When you do one of these assessments, it's hours and hours and hours of work. It's not something that you hand to somebody. And you certainly wouldn't want someone, if you're interviewing them or assessing them, to know what traits you're assessing for. You don't ask them, about grandiosity or stimulation seeking or lying. That's what you do over the course of an interview over several hours and record review. And you got to look like
Oh, no, I just feel like things like this, personally speaking, and undermine the seriousness of the issue.
Right.
You know?
Right. And another thing that, at least in terms of this website, if you click on a link, it goes into this, like, click on the link at the top. It goes into this, like, whole Bill Clinton conspiracy thing, which immediately sort of sets it apart from other valid psychopathy assessments.
It's just, it's so much more serious than something like entering in numbers
exactly
yourself.
Exactly. So the thought of just being handed a 20 item test for psychopathy where you fill in 0, 1, or 2 and then it says total and then it says diagnosis, so that's,
is that why it says Hillary at the bottom?
I don't know. Yeah, I do see that, and I don't know if this, like, so part of me wonders if this isn't like sort of a broader kind of conspiracy based thing, attack on Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like it if you click on that link and it
goes into why he or his wife may or may not be psychopathic, and we're not going to discuss that here, but if that's your agenda, then maybe this is just sort of part of that whole agenda. I don't know, but just as an example, but I can see people Googling this and going online and downloading this and then thinking that this is a valid test for psychopathy right here. Right, it says so right at the top, test for psychopathy. Anyway, I think we need to go to break, right?
Yes.
So we'll be right back. More tests of psychopathy right after this on Aftermath Radio.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shugg Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
We're back. Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State on Aftermath Radio, where we talk about all things psychopathic. Please, please do call us at area code 562. I should have this memorized, G.
Yes, you should. You say it.
Epic
so
failure here.
Epic fail.
Is it okay to say epic failure or just epic fail?
I haven't
heard
that, but I did see a shirt at Hot Topic that said epic fail, and I thought
it would be good for me.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
Not in the sense that you're an epic fail. It was
so not an epic failure. I'm just an epic fail.
It just reminded me, not saying that you are.
Right. Because we talked about this a few shows ago, about the epic fail. Anyway, 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. Anyway, talking about the sort of layman's online psychopathy tests, as they're called. Just talked about one before. Here's another one. It's called the Online Psychopathy Test, and it's on this sort of like blog site called Cultural Psychology. And it says, curious. I don't know if I should be giving names over the air or not, so I'll just err on the side of caution and not. This one has 52 questions. Here's how his blog goes. Because my article on the sociopathic personality has been one of my more popular articles, I decided to make an online self-diagnostic psychopathy test. All right. You go, sir, right? Because if you feel like it, you should just do it and put it on the internet. The 52-question test examines 11 dimensions of personality to uncover psychopathy and other affective deficit personality types that can be confused for psychopathy, including antisocial personality, narcissistic personality, Asperger's syndrome, and schizoid personality. Note, I use psychopathy interchangeably with sociopathy. So if I talk to this guy, I'd probably, I'd give him a good talking to about that, because I don't agree with that. Yeah. Most scholars use sociopath and psychopath interchangeably. That's not entirely true. But some insist a psychopath is a more violent version of the sociopath. That's actually correct. Some people do, but I don't agree with that necessarily, because there's no real way to define the term sociopathy. Anyway, so I would love to go through this whole thing. He's getting some action in terms of the responses to his blog. But there you go, 52 items. He just got bored one day and decided he wanted to come up with his own online psychopath test.
It's and not for anything else.
Just because his article was very popular. All right, now let's get into the nitty-gritty here. This was from a site called OKCupid. This is called the psychopathy test. And I'm going to take this right now over the air. But what I want to do is let's go big. Let's pick the worst possible answers and see what it tells us. Like, is it going to make my computer sputter and spark if I'm a psychopath or whatnot? So anyway, this is, I guess it's 10 or so items, but it says, okay, here's question number one. people generally find you attractive? I'm going to say yes, but I'm playing the part of the psychopath, okay. Right? And we're just picking the worst possible responses, so to speak. Okay, and I just pressed the little button there. Number two, you feel good and important about yourself. I think a psychopath would say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Number three, you get bored easily. Yes, sometimes, or no?
Yes.
Yes. Number four, if you did something wrong and had a choice, would you rather lie? Depends on the situation. Or tell the truth?
Lie.
A psychopath would lie. Yes. Number five, let's see. You find it easy and or enjoyable to manipulate others. These are like so transparent, these questions.
Yeah.
Psychopath would say yes. Right? Number six, if you do something wrong but necessary, how do you feel? The choices are glad, indifferent, or guilty.
See,
I'm thinking glad, because indifference, you can tell, you know, looking at these, what sort of the,
yeah,
the, I mean, when you make enough multiple choice quizzes over so many years, right, G, you just sort of,
yeah,
know which. So we're going to say glad. Number seven, your affections and relationships are short and shallow and short-lived, various, or long-termed and deep. Let's say shallow and short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get like a congratulations message from this, I think. Eight, do you feel sad about suffering of others?
They kind of
twisted it. Like, yeah, yes, often, sometimes, or no. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, no.
Number nine, you tend to live off others rather than off your own effort if possible.
Yes.
So that's a yes, right? Number 10, this is an interesting one. Yeah. You were different from others as a child. Yes, sometimes, or no?
What do you think they're trying to get at with that question? What part
of
that? I
don't know. It's a very poorly written question. I'm going to say yes. Number 11, you tend to make long-term plans. I'll say no.
No.
Number 12, is there like 20 questions? That'd be really transparent.
Yeah, it's 20 questions.
Is it really? Number 12.
Oh, 19.
19, sorry. Okay. You often act on impulse. I'll say yes. Number 13, people think of you as reliable and responsible. Yes, sometimes no. I'll say no if I'm a psychopath, right?
But wouldn't people think of you as reliable and responsible if you're
See what you did there? You sort of made me think about that. I don't know. I'm still going to say no.
Okay. Yeah. No matter what G says, it's going to mean that. I'm just kidding. Okay.
Number 14, you are quick to take responsibility for your actions. Yes, sometimes no.
No.
I'll say no. 15, your relationships so far have been rather short-termed and many, about average, or a few long-termed ones. I'll say rather short-termed and many. Okay, this is where it gets a little racy. If there are younger listeners, plug their ears. Number 16, in sex, you would rather, parentheses, if you had a choice, have lots with lots of people in lots of ways, take whatever life gives you, or have it only with your significant other in a way you both enjoy.
Obviously not the third one.
No, it's going to be the first one. Have lots with lots of people in lots of ways. Number 17, again, we are feigning psychopathy right now to do this psychopathy test here. 17, you have performed a crime or an act socially unacceptable as a youth. Yes, a real crime. No, just some regular quote-unquote bad things. Or no, I was pure as snow. I like that, pure as snow. But we're going to say yes, a real crime.
Mm-hmm.
Number 18, you have been found guilty by law. Yes, on several occasions. I have been tried or noted by the police, or never. I'd say yes on several occasions. And 19, and the last question. How many ways to hurt somebody or do something evil can you think of?
Oh, my God.
Many different ways, some very few or none at all. I'll say many different ways. And then I click on this green button that says finished. Now, oh, look at this. Sign up and get your results. Oh, sign up and get your results. You're kidding me.
It's one of those.
You're kidding me. Okay, gender, male. It says orientation and then status. Let's see what it does. Oh, then I got to do all this birthday and email. I don't want to do this. Well, that's not fun at all. I wanted to tell me, maybe you could do this later on your own time.
I'll set up an account.
Set up an account.
I'll set up an account.
All right. Anyway, so that is the OkCupid psychopathy test. Maybe we'll get listeners to do it. And but then again, you know, who knows where this information is going to go? Just don't give your name, your real name.
Yeah.
A psychopath wouldn't do that anyway, right?
I mean, they make it so, with this one and the other one that we were looking at, so easy.
Yeah.
You
exactly.
Know, the idea of it, that it's just so easy to diagnose yourself or someone as a psychopath.
And it's not.
No.
You hear me?
That is not the message.
I'm looking, sort of looking at the clock now, G. I'm wondering if we should save the John Ronson bit for next week, because I don't want to, I want to do it some justice and kind of go through it.
But I agree.
Maybe we can stretch for another 4 minutes here.
No stretching.
What do you think about that?
I agree.
Well, actually, one thing of note is the introduction to this OKCupid psychopathy test. And on the first page, there is a picture. It looks like from the original Psycho movie where Norman Bates' mother tears open the shower curtain and you see her silhouetted with the butcher knife. So the message I'm seeing there is like, you know, psychotic murderers are psychopaths. So again, there's some confusion right off the bat. We're not, you know, we know for that, what we've talked about over and over again, that all psychopaths are not Norman Bates's mother, right? But people see that the root psycho in there and they think, oh, well, yeah,
yeah,
of course. So it says there, this is a simple test based on Hare's psychopathy checklist revised. I wonder if Dr. Hare knows about that.
I'm sure he has an idea of how many of these things are out there. But yeah. I'm reading this as, along with you, and I can't believe it says that.
The next line?
The whole part, yeah.
Okay, so there are 20 checkpoints for the checklist. Now, I thought a checkpoint was like a DUI thing where you drive your car up and there's a bunch of cops there and they ask you if you've been drinking. Isn't that a checkpoint? Or like in wartime, if you go through like a security checkpoint. So I don't know if, is that the right word to use there? Checkpoints? Anyway, there are 20 questions here. Do the math yourself, smiley face. Okay. Of course, the true test would probably have hundreds of questions, so treat this as fun. The scoring is based on two factors model. It says, then it says Wikipedia article, and then it says by Borgesa Wolf. That must be his handle, his internet, or her.
The true test would probably have hundreds of questions, so I mean...
So treat this as fun. Yeah. I wonder if Borg Seawolf. I wonder if Borg Seawolf listens to the show. If so, we would encourage you to call in at 562-912-3541 or Skype us at aftermath.radio or email us at aftermathradio@kbh.com. It'd be cool to get to sort of see where this person is at.
And it has a link to that Wikipedia article link takes you to the Wikipedia entry on
I didn't look at that. How is that link? How is the Wikipedia article on the psychopathy checklist? Would you say it's... Just an immediate cursory assessment. Is it lengthy?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty lengthy.
And when you go down to the citations, who are some of the references there?
We have
what I go by.
Dr. Hare.
What is it? Without Conscience or some of his like empirical work?
A PCLR assessment of psychopathy, manual for the revised psychopathy checklist.
Oh, okay. So they got the manual.
And then they have a manual for Hare, another one. Oh, there's two.
Right.
There's Without Conscience.
Right. Now, that would actually, I think, if I were Dr. Hare, that might bother me a little bit because I'd be wondering if they're giving away trade secrets and copyrighted material. I wonder if he checks in on this stuff.
For further reading, Dr. Babiak and Dr. Hare's book is actually cited in here
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. That's a good place to
put it in
to get your hand on more information. Mm-hmm. I'm actually doing two things at once. My email expired, so I'm wondering if maybe someone emailed in. Anyway, I think the bottom line message here is beware the online psychopathy test, because there's problem with these is they're not validated at all. And like the first one said, the person literally just made it up in response to a blog that they did. And if you're not careful, you can mistake some. And plus the fact that it's misleadingly based on actual validated instruments. You know, if you're mentioned like the one, you know, like Borg Seawolf here says it's based on Hare's psychopathy checklist revised. Well, you know, it sort of steals from it, but it's not definitely not. I wouldn't say it's based on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not like you took it and made it better or you know, elaborated in some way. So yeah, and I think what we'll do next week then is we'll look at the John Ronson psychopathy test promo video. I was wondering if anyone has actually read that book. Yet, I have not.
I see it often. Like, if I go into a bookstore, it's that cover is so...
It's pretty prevalent.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
So, we'll now it'll be good, actually. Maybe we'll try contacting him and see if he'll come on the show. That might be a good idea, too.
That'd be really interesting.
That'd be a good thing for Chantal to do.
I'll let her know.
Because, I mean, he might be wanting to plug his book, too, so he might be wanting to come on the air and talk about it. But we will hold him to a higher standard when it comes... Oh, you're giving me the wrap-up sign. Mm-hmm. All right. We will be back after this Aftermath Radio here on KBeach.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shugg Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Aftermath Radio, we are back. Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. Call us at 562-912-3541, 562-912-3541. Skype us at Aftermath Radio and blah, 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 blah. So a couple of responses to the last segment. Really quick, Jane from Wiltshire writes, ha, 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 maybe Dr. Hare could sue these quiz writers, test writers, collect the money, and donate that to fund scientific research into psychopathy. I like that a lot. And actually, a pleasant surprise, Dr. Paul Babiak, who listens over dinner, tends to.
Hi, Dr. Babiak.
He says hi. No, I'm kidding. I don't know what he said. If he were here, he would say hi. How about that? Hi, Robert. Totally enjoying your show. I'm happy you're discussing the problems with self-assessments of psychopathy. The problem has always been that psychopaths are pathological liars, tend to lack insight into their inner self, and are manipulative, among other things. All of these things and others make it next to impossible to develop self-report psychopathy measures. Several researchers are trying, of course, including Bob here and myself, but item design must be much more sophisticated than simple, quote-unquote, I am a liar types of questions. The jury is still out and the research continues. Thank you for discussing this very critical aspect of psychopathy assessment. So some more great points there, you know, in terms of developing the items and the fact that you're giving these to potentially someone who is a pathological liar and may not be telling the truth. There you go. Okay, so now, our next guest actually wrote us an email. It says, I followed a link to your website from a sociopath's blog and have found your talk show to be very interesting. I recently listened to your interview with a psychopath from May 16th, 2011, which, by the way, I think was one of our better shows, don't you think? It was really interesting. For me, it was. G, are you there, or did you?
I'm here. I'm just trying to remember.
You need to go back and listen to it then.
Yeah.
All right. So the email goes on to say, I was wondering if you would be interested in interviewing another. I would not be considered a quote unquote full psychopath since I lack the typical behaviors such as manipulative, promiscuous, violent, etc. But I do have most of the personality traits such as shallow emotions, lack of empathy, lack of guilt, etc. I'm quite certain I would fail Hare's psychopathy checklist, but I'm also fairly certain that I am a psychopath nevertheless. I don't see anything wrong with being this way, though, since I don't hurt people. My brain is just wired differently, that's all. And so then I contacted you and we spoke and here we are. And so I think actually from speaking with you, I would agree to you to the extent that in terms of being a full-blown psychopath, although we haven't done a thorough, you know, legitimate assessment, but just kind of based on the things that you say, yeah, it does seem like there's items that don't apply to you. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about in terms of emotions and how has this experience of not having emotions, for lack of a better word, how has that impacted your life? Or what have you seen in the day-to-day life?
Not much, actually. It's, like I said, it's a lack of something. It doesn't affect me too much, except when other people assume that I'm like them and that I have emotions. Mm-hmm. And it gets complicated. Language is complicated because a lot of words in English have these emotional connotations, emotionally loaded words.
Sure.
And I end up using them because I've grown up using them, even though they have no true meaning for me.
Do you feel sort of a disconnect when you use the word but really don't have a reference for the actual feeling or emotion that it represents?
Yeah, so I've been trying to phrase things so that they don't have emotional connotations, but it's hard to find the right words.
Sure.
Like even like and dislike sort of have emotional connotations.
Yeah,
Whereas for me, those words are more of a value judgment.
Okay. And you mentioned before when we were having technical difficulties about anger and that you can't really relate to that concept.
I can't.
Can you say more about that?
I don't feel anger. I can discern when something warrants anger, when something deserves to make people angry, almost. I didn't phrase that very well. But, or like something offensive. I know when something is offensive, mm-hmm. but I don't feel offended.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
No, it actually does. Have Has anyone ever told you that you have sort of a temper problem or that you're hot-headed or you just have...
They do, because I tend to overcompensate when I put on my emotional masks. I tend to overdo it.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm seen as a hyperactive kind of person.
Okay, well, you use sort of a kind of a buzzword there or something, like when you mentioned emotional mask. Tell me about that. What does that mean to you when you say that?
It just means I act emotional. I act like I feel things. Okay. Just to kind of blend in. I'm like a chameleon.
Okay. When's the last time you did that? Can you remember an example?
Pretty much every day, actually.
Okay.
Acting happy and excited about things.
And
go ahead. It's interesting. I do feel excitement a little bit, like brief flashes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like certain things more than others, value judgment. So I act excited, like really excited, to better convey that, yes, I really, really like this thing. It's like I have to lie to tell the truth.
I understand. Actually, that makes sense to me when you say it that way. Now, do you consider yourself sort of a good actress when it comes to, you know, portraying these feelings that you're not really experiencing?
It depends on what I'm portraying. Like I said, with anger, very easy for me to fake anger. Love is very difficult. Can't fake that.
Isn't love difficult?
I cannot cry on command, unfortunately.
Well, you mentioned
it would be awesome if I could.
You mentioned during the technical problems that you have never experienced love.
No.
And then just for the benefit of the list, do you mind if we mention your age? Because I think that might be important. Because you're younger, you're 21, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the argument might come to you like, well, you're 21, so some people might not even know the meaning of true love at that age. How would you respond to that?
Well, people experience different kinds of love. Most people love their families.
Oh, good point. So you're saying...
And I mean, I say that I love my family, but I don't feel anything for them.
Interesting.
I really hope they're not listening to this right now.
Nobody listens to this show, so I'm sure they don't. But I will send them a copy of the podcast. No, I'm kidding.
That would be horrible.
And then, Tatiana, just to get kind of just for a point of reference, have you ever felt, or I mean, this sort of experience of not experiencing emotions, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, is that pretty much how you've been your whole life, or do you remember times when you did feel love or perhaps anger?
I don't remember my childhood very well. My memories are very fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have been more emotional when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I was a very hyperactive child, but that could have been me overcompensating like I'm doing now.
Right.
So I actually don't know.
And then,
for most of my memories of my life, I've been this way.
Okay. And then even now, like in the moment on this call, like when I hear you laughing and stuff, are you really... Is that a genuine emotion, or are you anxious, or are you just sort of faking your way through it, like you describe?
Faking.
Okay, that's good
to
know.
It's like a code, almost, where I get input, and then I have this natural output that just kind of responds.
Okay.
Because it's a habit for me.
Right, right. Well, you've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so and you and I have worked out some questions to get to. So I'm going to jump us back into the script again. So in terms of, you mentioned here about having moral principles, even though you don't feel guilt. What can you say about that?
Well, I think for a lot of people, the moral codes are dictated by society, and guilt is just a way of making sure you follow it. Because if you don't, you feel bad. So if you don't have guilt, it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't follow a moral code. It just means you have less reinforcement. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Mm-hmm. So I do have a moral code. I was raised in a Christian household. Of course, you don't need a religion to have a moral code, but that's how it worked out for me. So I was raised from a very early age knowing right from wrong based on the Bible, and I found that very nice, actually. Considering I don't have that built-in moral compass of guilt to help me determine if I'm doing right or wrong.
Well,
so,
well, let me ask you this. How does it, for lack of a better word, how does it feel, right? I know that you might have a problem with this, but what is it like for you when you do something that is contrary to whatever moral code you're subscribing to. Do you experience anything when that happens?
No.
Okay. Can you give an example of the last time that happened without giving too much detail?
Let's see here. Something recent. Mm-hmm. I actually can't think of anything.
Okay. But you've noted that in the past, that moral mm-hmm. transgressions for you don't, you know, cause feelings or emotions or produce any sort of sensation that, you know, the rest of us, you know, supposedly, you know, the reason, you know, we can argue different theories of why we adhere to moral codes, and some would argue that there's this sort of biological reaction to transgressions of morality that we all learn very early on that perhaps you didn't get, or, you know, but in your experience of it now, you're not feeling anything that's preventing you from necessarily transgressing a moral code in the future, other than you just sort of know you shouldn't.
Yeah, basically, if I do something wrong, I realize, oh, that was wrong. I shouldn't do that. And then I make sure that I don't do it again.
Okay. And then just to be clear, I mean, and we've talked about this, but so you don't have a criminal record?
No, I don't.
And
I've never done anything that would warrant a criminal record aside from that fundraiser thing I told you about.
Are we allowed to talk about that or no?
I could. I definitely could.
Well, tell us about that then, since this is your one moral transgression, right?
My one moral transgression in high school.
Okay.
My best friend, had this fundraiser idea where we would sneak onto people's lawns in the middle of the night and put plastic flamingos in the grass.
Oh, right.
And then we would leave the homeowners a note like, hey, we're doing a fundraiser. You can give us money or not. We'll come and take the flamingos away tomorrow. And people thought that was really fun. And so they'd give us money and then they'd refer us to another house that we could flamingo.
I think there was a craze, wasn't there, a while back, flamingoing lawns, I think a few years
mm-hmm.
ago? Okay, so that's not going to get you any serious prison time, I'm not thinking.
No.
Unless you flamingo like the White House and Secret Service gets involved or something
like
that.
That would probably be the one.
Okay, so just kind of thinking off the top of my head, so no criminal history, it doesn't sound like. In terms of emotions, it sounds like you're describing that you don't feel any. What tell me about empathy. Like, you know, and I often talk about this when I'm teaching my classes, you know, if a person can't experience emotions themselves, then it makes it very difficult for them to really understand the emotions of others. So, you know, by just sort of, you know, the next logical step would be, you know, you probably aren't able to do that either.
No, I understand in theory dictionary definitions and such,
mm-hmm.
and I actually have a habit of asking my friends when they're being really emotional, like, so what are you feeling right now? Can you describe it? If it had a texture, what would it feel like? If it had a taste or a smell, what would it be? And, you know, they usually just kind of stare at me like,
I was going to say, they must think you're nuts.
I don't know how to answer that question. They're
right.
just completely stumped by this question, not why I'm asking.
Right.
But they don't know how to answer it.
Well, that's interesting because I don't know that anyone could really articulate, you know, the nuances of emotion. You know, it's just mm-hmm. it's sort of like, you know, you either know it or you don't, right? And to put it into
exactly.
words, you know, sometimes I would imagine you often end up using other words that represent emotions and you're kind of going round and round. So can you remember any time in your life that you were able to put yourself in someone else's shoes emotionally and feel what they're feeling, or is that just totally not within your realm of experience?
I can't really do that because I have such a small data set to extrapolate from. It doesn't work very well. I had one friend attempt to describe feelings to me by saying, take the angriest you've ever felt and multiply that by 1,000. I'm like, well, considering it's zero, that's not going to do much for
right.
me. Zero times 1,000 is still zero.
Have you ever seen somebody, like, legitimately suffering firsthand? Have you ever witnessed that?
Let's see. Firsthand, personally. Not really, actually.
Okay.
They might have, and I just didn't notice.
Okay. What about, like, if you saw someone hurting an animal? How would you feel about that?
Well, considering I hurt animals a little bit when I was younger,
Oh, okay.
Depending on the context, I might think it was funny.
Well, do you mind? Can we talk about that? Or is that...
Well, I wasn't, like, terribly cruel. I was just, you know, imprison my family's cats under the bed and close off all the exits and then watch them panic. Well, actually listen to them panic as they tried to find a way out.
How come you did that?
I don't know. Okay. I actually legitimately do not know. I thought it was fun.
Uh-huh. Did you?
My sister helped me.
Oh, okay.
In my defense, my sister was involved, and she had just as much fun as me.
Psychopathy may be genetic, so that might explain that. did you get a thrill out of that when you guys were doing that?
I don't remember that I did. I might have, but okay. I don't remember. I just remember that I did it, and I don't know why.
All right.
When I was in kindergarten and put Play-Doh in some kid's hair. I don't know why I did that either.
Well, sometimes we do things as kindergartners that defy explanation. I get that. But if you were doing that when you were 18, 19, that might be a different issue,
yeah,
right?
It would be definitely different to do it now.
Okay. Have you ever seen a photograph of like a very horrific experience or situation, people suffering?
Yeah, everyone's seen pictures of, like, the Holocaust and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, let's take a Holocaust image then. How do you feel, but what do you experience when you see a Holocaust image, honestly?
Well, I don't feel anything, but I do think, oh, that's horrible. That's terrible that happened. That should never happen again. But I don't feel anything.
Okay.
It's all in my head.
Okay, interesting. No, and I thank you for being so, you know, open and honest about that. Now, you and I mentioned your friend, or we talked about your friend. You called her the uber empath, and I love that term. But your friend like overly empathic, and your sort of relationship with her. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, actually, we should probably just call her M, since she's an empath. You know, so we'll just
call her M.
We can avoid saying uber empath all the time.
Right.
But M, she has really powerful empathy. She can walk into a room and kind of sense what the general feeling is. It's like a hum in the air, apparently,
mm-hmm.
the way she describes it, where if every emotion is like lightning, then she is a lightning rod and she gets just hit all the time by everybody.
Right. Okay.
Why she avoids large crowds, because then it's just really overwhelming. So she met me, and she really likes to spend time around me because I don't hit her with lightning. I don't have anything. She says I'm like faint static. It's very hard for her to find the right channel.
So it's almost refreshing for her, or maybe even relaxing to be around you if you're sort of not, you know, transmitting all of your whatever your emotions are to her, and
mm-hmm.
she's not picking up on it.
Yeah,
right.
She finds it a big relief to be around me, and she also has a disability.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of people pity her, you know, just out of reflex. And so she likes that I don't pity her.
Interesting.
I don't feel pity. So she's like, thank you.
I was just going to ask you, yeah. Some more questions that actually just came in from Dr. Paul Babiak. He says, ask her if she's ever lost a pet. Have you ever lost a pet? Like the kittens?
Oh, yeah. Both of our cats died.
How did they die?
One of them ate rat poison and, you know, just kind of slowly died. We had to put him to sleep. I was actually looking into his eyes when they injected him, and I saw them dilate, and I realized, oh, he's gone.
Okay. Did you ever lose a friend or a relative?
I lost, let's see here, my great-grandmother. Lost her.
Okay.
Didn't feel anything for that, though.
Okay.
My uncle committed suicide recently. He shot himself.
Now, see, when I hear you talk about it like that, it does, to me, sort of, you know, it sounds like very matter of fact, you know what I mean, and so that.
Well, it really was. Of course, I didn't really know my uncle that well.
Okay.
My sister, oh my gosh, she posted a Facebook dash. You know, oh, hold your friends close. You never know when you'll lose them. I'm kind of staring at the screen, wondering. She knew him just as much as I did,
mm-hmm.
which was like almost nothing.
Right, right.
It didn't make a great deal of sense to me.
Are you proud of anything in your life?
Oh, let's see, pride. Pride is an interesting question. I definitely like the things that I have accomplished,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel anything. I'm very good at acting proud.
Right.
My boss finds it endlessly amusing. But never actually felt that.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, Tatiana, we're actually running out of time. We were talking about how...
Yeah, I'm looking at the clock.
Time really flies.
I only have like a minute or two.
Would you be interested in coming back on a show in the future and talking more about it? Because you really have a fascinating take on these issues that we're constantly discussing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be willing to do that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Great. Okay. Well, just want to say thanks so much for coming on. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We'll edit all that out so we'll both sound very professional.
Okay.
All right. I'll speak to you soon.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. What'd you think of that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to hear. I mean, I sort of listen to the content of what she says, but I also listen to the process behind it. You know what I mean? And if I were doing an assessment, those would be things that I would pay attention to. She sounds like a sort of a nice, polite person, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not thinking that she's an axe murderer necessarily, but then we've talked about on this show, all axe murderers are not psychopaths and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's going to be about it for us today. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to leave us voicemails or emails, you can call us at 562-912-3541. Leave us voicemails, email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, we encourage you to go to the website, aftermathradio.org, where all our podcasts are. Next week, I'm not sure who we're going to have, but it's going to be great. This is Dr. Robert Chugg for Aftermath Radio. We'll see you next week here on KBeach.
You've been listening to Aftermath Radio, production of the KBeach radio station at California State University, Long Beach. Produced in association with AftermathSurvivingPsychopathy.org. Your host has been Dr. Robert Chugg. Your producers have been Brian Frederick, Chantel Fahmy, and Gurjeet Brar. Join us next Monday at 4 p.m. for another exciting episode.
If you or someone you know has been victimized and you'd like to talk to someone, call the Cal State Long Beach Counseling and Psychological Services number at 562-985-4001. Aftermath Radio.